This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review. And today on the show, we are going to talk about the Jubilee year of 2025 that is coming up starting in January, actually starting with the Feast of Christmas. So we are talking today for this segment with Marilyn Santos, who is Associate Director of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops Secretariat on Evangelization and Catechesis. As part of that, she's been asked to help shepherd any efforts within the United States that are related to the Jubilee. Welcome to the show, Marilyn.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the invitation.
First of all, what's the theme for this Jubilee year? The Great Jubilee Year. We hold Jubilees every 25 years, or the Church declares a Jubilee every 25 years. It's based in Scripture. What's the theme this time around that Pope Francis has given us?
Sure. The theme for the entire year is Pilgrims of Hope, Peregrinos de Esperanza. And that's really, it'll be the thread throughout the entire year.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean for people as they kind of get ready for that? It's hard to be a hopeful people at this time, isn't it?
Imbued in prayer, and just I think what you said before, how Jubilees are a tradition of our faith. It's scripture based. It actually is something that we inherited from our Jewish ancestors and brothers and sisters. I think particularly if we focus that Jubilee is a time for forgiveness, for mercy. Sometimes they say forgiveness of debts, whether that be a physical or spiritual debt. So I think if we remind ourselves what this is about, that it's not about going to Rome as a tourist, mm-hmm. That it's actually supposed to be something that's very prayerful, and it's a time to rejoice that our God in his mercy, that's where the hope comes from, is the mercy of the Lord.
You know, you mentioned the monetary debts, and that's, I think, something that people often associate with a Jubilee, but you also mentioned spiritual debts. Is that way of working on forgiveness of other people, does that really help us celebrate and become people of help if we let go of something and forgive other people?
Oh, absolutely. And again, we hear that in Scripture as well, where it says, you know, if you come to the altar and you have a grievance against your brother, leave. Mm-hmm. And do not come back. You know, it's a burden. I think sometimes the sacrament of reconciliation, we forget that it's a healing sacrament, that it's not meant to be just one that's like pejorative and when we're being punished. On the contrary, it's a sacrament that by forgiving others, it's a weight is lifted off of my heart, mm-hmm. As well as sometimes physically my back as well. So yeah, I think that forgiveness and being merciful, that's where the hope comes from. So if I have something against my brother or my sister, then I need to forgive them, not expecting something in return. And I think sometimes that's where our humanity gets right in the way, that even if somebody doesn't accept it, the Lord knows what my intention was.
Right. A priest told me many years ago that, you know, the root of that word is forgive. It's forgiving. If somebody really wrongs you, you may never forget that. You know, we hear that phrase, forgive and forget.
Right.
We may not forget that, but we can put it in a different context if we give our mercy to somebody else before they, and maybe they're not deserving of it at times, you know, we think they're not deserving of that forgiveness from us. But by doing that, it's almost a gift to ourselves by letting go of that spiritual burden.
Absolutely. It's a dual gift. It's a gift to myself to remind myself that I'm at the end of the day, I'm not the judge, and that it's God. It's God who forgives us all, and this is why the Lord came down on earth. And I let myself off the hook.
Yeah.
Someone might say if my intention is pure, then I can be at peace.
Right.
And hopefully whether my brother and sister, who was the aggressor, or maybe I'm the one who needed to ask for forgiveness, then I have to pray that they come to the same peace, mm-hmm. as I have.
Yeah. A lot of people, I think, perceive that in a Jubilee year, part of that is that you have to go visit the Vatican. not everybody can do that. We know that. Are there going to be local opportunities here in the United States for people to participate in Jubilee events? Are there going to be local holy doors? Are there going to be local places of pilgrimage where they might be able to receive the Jubilee year indulgence?
All right. Well, the answer is yes and no. And I'm going to start with the no first,
okay.
Because the no is the shortest one. And you mentioned the holy doors. I know there was a little confusion early on because the prior Jubilee, not only were the holy doors in Rome, but each diocese, each ordinary was asked to assign a holy door. That's not the case this time.
Right.
The letter came a little bit late, if I can say. So we're busy, letting some of our bishops know that. No, the only holy doors will be in Rome. But something extra that they're doing is that one of these holy doors is going to be at a jail.
Yes, I saw
and
that.
Again, goes back to that theme of mercy, right, and
exactly.
Forgiveness. For the other part of your question, absolutely. The world, the Holy Father, the Holy See, as you said, the vast majority of our people are not going to be able to pilgrimage to Rome. But this is a moment of the communion of saints,
right.
That we're all still expected to celebrate the Jubilee. So we from the Bishops' Conference, which is why on our regular webpage, usccb.org, we actually have built a dedicated page on the Jubilee. And one of the things that it's not just information, so it's handy, but what we've done as staff there is for every Jubilee we were actually able to match a secretariat or an office. So my colleagues are actually creating resources, and we gave everybody a little bit of a framework, an outline, and we were very intentional that not so much about how to pilgrimage to Rome, because the official Vatican website has that. Let's make sure our resources are to encourage bishops and their priests to celebrate stateside, mm-hmm. that it's still meant to be celebrated here. And I'm already hearing that some dioceses are already preparing. One of the gifts, and that I can acknowledge can be a challenge, is that there's a lot of Jubilees. I mean, some months have more than one.
All right.
So I think, some places obviously will probably choose a few where they can perhaps do something a little larger. But at the end of the day, though, with prayer, we can all participate in every single one of those Jubilees if we just remember to say a prayer. I think the last one of the year is actually for prisoners,
okay.
which... people were really pleased in Sabah that the Holy See is really, if you look at the list, nobody's left out.
Right. Right. Can you give some examples of what kinds of events dioceses might be sponsoring?
Sure. It can be something as simple as an extended prayer service.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are actually building a mini catechetical congress type of a day.
Right, right.
It can be a praise and worship. It could be something where you have activities for families and for young people, and it can be talks. It can be bringing in preachers to do maybe like an old-fashioned tent revival. It really, the sky's the limit, as long as the intention is for the group of that. Who that particular time frame is who the Jubilee is for. So the other thing that we're also encouraging is that dioceses do pilgrimages within their own diocese. Some of them have shrines.
Right.
I think we are really blessed that we have a lot of shrines in the United States. So I know...
We have a lot of shrines
right in this area. Absolutely.
In the D.C.,
so
Baltimore,
that's a
area.
Here in Baltimore, somebody could arrange a pilgrimage to just visit all these beautiful shrines and have a mass at the beautiful Basilica, the first Catholic see in the United States.
Right.
So really, it's... we're really hoping that people are creative, and also recognizing that every diocese might have a slightly different culture and the way things are done. So, what they do in Brownsville, Texas, would probably be a little different than what you would do here in Baltimore.
Sure, absolutely. And that's part of the flavor mm-hmm. of the local church, that I think if you allow that to happen, then that makes the celebrations much more appropriate and enjoyable.
Because it is joy.
Right.
It's a celebration.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things when we think about, Jubilee years are, and the Pope has declared some extraordinary mm-hmm. years. He had an extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy a few years ago that was really kind of focused on what the Lord can give us in his mercy. But the idea of celebrating hope for a whole year just really sounds like a good idea, doesn't it?
It does. And as you mentioned before, we're living through some hard times, globally.
Yeah.
So I think if there's a time that we ever needed to focus on hope, this is it. And mm-hmm. you did mention the extraordinary ones. And then the next extraordinary one will be in 2033, because it'll be the 2000th anniversary of our Lord coming on earth. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of his public ministry that ultimately comes to save us. So that's the great thing about it. What else are you working on to try to help dioceses do this well?
We will be holding, we haven't yet, but we are going to be doing some webinars so mm-hmm. that we can provide some outline, some structure, some best practices. But I think more importantly, it'll be a forum so that people can ask questions. And even if we don't have the answer right there in that webinar, then those questions will help us then create and find the answers so then we can either do another webinar, put them up on the website. I know our primary contacts is we communicate through the bishops, and then they share that information, whoever on their chantry staff mm-hmm. they deem most appropriate. But we will be using our USCCB social media just so that people are aware that they're not alone, that here there's all these resources. You don't have to do it by yourself.
Right. And so really your job becomes not planning a national event, but like the National Eucharistic Congress that we just came through, but really to provide resources for the dioceses to do this well and celebrate the Jubilee.
Exactly.
Well, right?
That's exactly it. Because the Congress was huge, which is why Congress was originally going to be planned by my office. And then the bishops in their wisdom said, no. So then this outside organization was founded. I was very grateful.
I'll bet you were. I'll bet you were. Well, we have been talking today about the great Jubilee year of 2025. Pilgrims of Hope is the theme, with Marilyn Santos, who is Associate Director of the USCCB Secretariat on Evangelization and Catechesis. After the break, we're going to talk with Sister Marie Juan Anderson, who works in Rome at the U.S. Office for Visitors to the Vatican, and she's going to talk about the Jubilee in the context of Rome and Italy. Thank you so much for joining us, Marilyn.
Thank you, Chris.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. The skull that believers say once held one of the greatest minds in the history of the Catholic Church is coming to the Baltimore and Washington, D.C. area. The relic of St. Thomas Aquinas, a 13th century Italian Dominican priest known for his systematic theological writings, will be available for public veneration at St. Philip's and James Parish in Baltimore, December 17th and 18th. During the Baltimore visit, Dominican Father Nicanor Austriaco, professor of biological sciences and professor of sacred theology at the University of Santo Tomas in the Philippines, will present a 7 p.m. lecture December 17th titled St. Thomas Aquinas, Student, Professor, Friend of God. Dominican Father Patrick Briscoe, editor of Our Sunday Visitor, will celebrate a 7:10 p.m. Mass December 18th. The visit to Baltimore will be the final stop on a tour sponsored by the Dominican Province of St. Joseph that will include visits to 11 sites in 7 states and the District of Columbia. For more on this and other stories, visit CatholicReview.org or text WMET to 84576. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and we are talking about the Jubilee year of 2025, themed Pilgrims of Hope. Our guest this segment is Religious Sister of Mercy, Maria Juan Anderson, who is coordinator of the Bishop's Office for U.S. Visitors to the Vatican in Rome. And your office is just steps from the Trevi Fountain, if I recall correctly from some of my visits over there, right? Welcome to the show.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for having
me. The Jubilee year itself, a lot of people imagine that part of the Jubilee is that they're supposed to go to Rome and be a part of that. We just talked to Marilyn Santos, who's working on the U.S. side with the bishops, and says not everybody has to go to Rome. I don't think everybody can go to Rome. But it sounds like there's a lot of people planning to go to Rome in 2025.
Yeah, that's true.
The Italy is expecting how many millions of visitors?
They're saying, and I don't know how they project these sorts of things, but I trust them, 30 million more people than usual.
Wow. That is incredible.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have a lot of people to handle, giving tickets to papal audiences and other things. What does the Bishop's Office for Visitors to the Vatican provide?
So we exist to be really a liaison or kind of a helping hand for any Americans who want to see the Holy Father. So anyone in the world can write an email to the prefecture of the papal household. That's the office within the Vatican that helps to organize all of the tickets to papal events and papal liturgies. You can write to them. You can even fax them. You know, that's how.
Really? They still have a fax
machine? They still have a fax machine in the Vatican. And you receive a reply. You go to the bronze doors, these big doors made of bronze where the Swiss guards stand, and you can receive your ticket there. Mm-hmm. It can be a little bit confusing to navigate that. There's the Italian language barrier and just trying to make your way to the bronze doors. You have to go through security. It's a little bit arduous. So we tried. The bishops sponsored this office so that you can write an email directly to us. You can use our online form on our website. We do that part of the work for you. We communicate with the prefecture. We go and get your tickets there. And then we invite Americans to come to our office the day before whatever event is taking place. We give you your ticket. And then we also provide a short 15-minute orientation, lots of practical things. How does security work? What can you bring? Where's the Pope going to walk out of? What's the best seat in the piazza?
There you go.
Plus a little bit of catechesis. Why is this important to us to come and be in the presence of Peter, of the Holy Father? What does it mean to be present in the heart of the church in this way? How can I be most spiritually ready for the graces that God is going to give me during this encounter? And really just to try to take that little nervous edge off of navigating an often once-in-a-lifetime experience, but also give a spiritual context of what God is really doing in this moment.
Because I would imagine that some folks come as tourists and leave as pilgrims, maybe.
That's our hope. That's our hope, yeah.
Because I would imagine that certainly a lot of Catholics are hoping to see the Pope at some point in their lifetime. I've been privileged to see him a lot of times, various popes from John Paul and Benedict and Francis. Met John Paul and Francis, met Cardinal Ratzinger before he was Pope.
Wow, good for you.
But a lot of people don't have that opportunity. So I think for them, this can be a time when they are able to come and be present as a part of that. Now, as you said, the logistics can get messy.
Right.
Italy itself is not terribly organized. We've had groups go to St. Peter's Square, and they stand at the gate in the line that they believe is going to be the gate that opens, and then the security opens the gate down the way.
Exactly.
So those kinds of things can be good. So it's good that you're giving them logistical help.
Mm-hmm.
But that spiritual preparedness has got to be important. You spoke to the bishops yesterday to talk to them a little bit about this. We are talking today while we're at the U.S. bishops meeting in Baltimore in November. When you talked about some experiences that have happened, and I imagine they've happened more than once, where you've invited people after this orientation to go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so part of our orientation is to really catechize people on something that the church makes available to them when they receive a blessing from the Holy Father, which the Pope gives a blessing at the end of every event or liturgy that takes place. When you receive a blessing from the Pope, you can also receive a plenary indulgence, which, as many Catholics know, they've heard that word before,
right.
But we try to take a little bit of time with our people in the office and explain what that means. This incredible outpouring of grace, which you can receive for yourself or for someone who has died. And because it's grace, it's given freely through Jesus, and there's nothing we can do to earn that grace. However, we can be more prepared, more open to receiving that grace. So we explain to the pilgrims the four ways that the church invites us to be more prepared. Pray for the Pope, go to Mass and receive Holy Communion, strive to be detached from sin, and then to go to confession. And when you start to explain these things to people, the first three, you're like, okay, yeah, I can pray for the Pope, I can go to Mass, I can strive to be detached from sin. Mm-hmm. But confession is a scary thing for many Catholics.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't go.
And many people have been away for a long
time.
For
many years, for various reasons. You know, maybe it's hard for them to get to, the times aren't convenient. Maybe they're just, they have a big sin on their heart that they know they can't, they don't want to say out loud. The reasons are as varied as the people. But then we take time to talk about what confession really is. First, we tell them what sin is, because I think we don't hear that enough, that sin is a choice that I have made that goes against who I've been created to be. And every time we sin, I wound myself because I'm not living up to that call. I wound another person often by an action that I take or don't take. And I always wound my relationship with God. So we paint the reality of sin because we don't talk about that enough. But we then say, there's a wound that takes place when we sin, but there's also a remedy for this wound. And the remedy for the wound of sin is mercy, the mercy of Jesus Christ. And it's made available to us every time we go to confession. And there's a freedom that can take place and a healing. And who doesn't want that?
Absolutely.
And so we just try to present the truth in a clear and disarming way. And what's amazing, then we make the invitation in our orientation. We say, look, here's the reality, here's the remedy, and here's the opportunity. And we have three priests, American priests, who are studying in Rome, that live in the Casa Santa Maria, where our office is. They're American priests who've been sent by their bishops for graduate studies. Mm-hmm. They volunteer to hear confessions for our pilgrims every week. And people go. And I can tell you, this happens every single Tuesday afternoon. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And when I'm giving the orientation, I see their little faces changing. First, they're uncomfortable, mm-hmm. because there's a nun in the front of the room telling them they're a sinner. And then their face gradually softens and the fear kind of dissipates. And they're still scared, right? But they get their courage. And I sometimes literally walk them to the door of the confessional, mm-hmm. because they're so scared. And I say, look, you don't even have to remember all the prayers or all the words, because the priest is waiting in there to guide you. And you sit down in that chair and you say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I don't remember how to do this anymore. It's been so many years.
Right.
And what I told the bishops yesterday is, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. And they know this. These bishops are good and they know. But to see someone walk out of confession after 40 years, they're reconciled with the Lord. Their soul is open to the graces that God wants to give them. And that is the most beautiful part of our service in Rome.
You mentioned something yesterday that struck my heart, and I wrote it down, that you tell people whatever sin you have on your heart right now, when you go in there, you don't have to bring it out with you.
Exactly.
And just that idea of being able to leave that behind with the Lord and just say, take this yours, and for the Lord to give you forgiveness. It just, the way you said that was just very powerful.
Oh, thank you.
And do you get people coming to you and saying, I am relieved?
Yeah. They're often moved to tears, as we all can be after a good confession. And they're just grateful. I think not to us. I mean, sometimes they're grateful that we're the ones who invited them.
Right.
But they're just so grateful to be free from this burden of sin.
Right.
And I think it's the trick of the evil one to make us think we'll never be forgiven. Recently, I mean, we go to confession every 2 weeks, even the sisters, you know, and I was recently struck at the end of the prayer of absolution from the priest, and the prayer of the church that the priest prays is, through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace.
And peace.
Pardon and peace. You can't get that anywhere else in the world.
No.
You can't be pardoned from your sins by anyone but Jesus. And the peace of God is a kind of peace that, in the scripture, says surpasses all understanding. And that's all I want our pilgrims to have, is freedom and peace. And that's what our world needs.
Yeah.
And so that's why the privilege of our service at this office, yeah, we give you a ticket to see the Pope, which is really, really cool.
Sure.
But more than that, we want to help you on your journey to heaven.
And so, I imagine you can help with Christmas midnight mass and all those other things that people want to go to.
All of those liturgies, yep.
How are you going to handle the tens of millions of people who are coming next year? Not all of them are going to be Americans.
No, they're
not all coming to your doorstep. But are you ramping up for that?
We're trying. You know, it's something that only happens every 25 years.
Yeah, so you don't want to staff up for it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's at the same time, 25 years ago in the year 2000, the internet was not what it is. All of these different platforms did not exist. So we're just trying to be ready and just smile and drink a lot of water and eat our vegetables so we're healthy. But I think we're just going to have to take it day by day and I think it's good to have a resource in Rome that you can call upon, someone who speaks your language, mm-hmm. who can explain to you the practical things and help you along.
And tell you where the English language masses are
exactly.
and all those kinds of things. I mean, that office just has been very helpful to me over many
I'm
years
so glad.
And many visits to Italy. So
yeah.
God bless that work. Thank you so
you.
Much for doing it.
Yeah. We love it.
Yeah. Well, we have been talking today about the Jubilee year of 2025. The theme that Pope Francis has given us for that is Pilgrims of Hope. And certainly the mercy that you've talked about as part of the Sacrament of Confession is part of that thing that gives us hope. We have been talking this segment with Religious Sister of Mercy, Maria Juan Anderson, who is the coordinator of the Bishop's Office for Visitors to the Vatican. Thank you so much for being with us today.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.